Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always
Word of Life.
Well, good morning, church. For those of y'all who are watching online, I made the joke last week, y'all can't say it back, but it makes me laugh, and that's really all that matters, right? So we're in this sermon series called What's Next, looking at this transition in the beginning of Joshua. How does God lead his people from the wilderness season of Numbers and Exodus and Deuteronomy? How does God lead them from that space and time of their lives into the long-awaited promised land that was promised to Abraham in the beginning of Genesis? And last week we talked a bit about how do we enter into this new season? What sort of our attitudes of our hearts? How does God want us to respond as we go into this new season? And today we're going to be looking at sort of this threshold moment in Joshua chapter 3. So if you want to pull up your Bibles, or I think it'll be on the live stream, we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 3, the first five verses. So I'm going to read that out loud for us. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped over before crossing. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to all the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." So they find themselves at this threshold moment. This is the spot right at the Jordan River, if you're familiar with the geography of the Holy Land. So they're in the wilderness in Jordan, and they're about to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And they've actually been at this threshold moment before in their history and in their lives. They've been here before. And this is the exact, maybe not the exact spot, it's pretty close to the exact spot where they turned around into the wilderness 40 years ago. And so as we examine this moment in Joshua 3, we need to ask ourselves, what's different now? What has changed in the hearts of the Israelites? What's changed in the leadership? What's different about this season in their lives in Joshua 3 compared to when they were first here 40 years ago? And we're going to be looking at that too. I'm going to be reading scripture to y'all again. It's going to be Numbers 13, 30 through 14, 4. I want you to just be paying attention to some key differences between 3 and chapters 13 and 14. Starting in verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report among the land they had explored." And they said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Putting this in a little bit of context, so they sent out spies into the Promised Land. They did this in Joshua chapter 3, and they did this also in Numbers. They sent spies into the Promised Land. They came back with huge grapes and huge things of fruit, but they also said that the people in this land are very big, they're very scary, and we can't go up against them. And I think that there's sort of a lot of like small differences, but I felt the Lord pushing me and challenging me to, what is the root difference between the people in Numbers and the people in Joshua? And what I think the core difference is that In Numbers, they really didn't believe that God wanted to lead them into the promised land. They really didn't believe that God wanted them to be in the promised land. For whatever reason, they believed that God was kind of out to get them. Looking a bit at what they said, if we go there, we're going to, the land devours the inhabitants. The people are very big. We're like grasshoppers compared to them. They cry out to Moses and Aaron, why has God brought us this far only to die by the sword? It would be better to go back to Egypt. You see this just theme throughout this whole passage in Numbers. They really didn't believe that God wanted them to go into the promised land and that he would lead them into the promised land and deliver it to them. And so as we kind of examine this threshold moment in Joshua 3, we need to also look at this threshold moment in Numbers 13 and just kind of compare the two, but also compare it to our own lives. Sort of as we're in a similar transition season, as we're going from wilderness to whatever God wants for us, what are we more like? Are we more like the people in Joshua 3, or are we more like the people in Numbers 13? That is, we're in this transition season. We need to ask, what does God have in store for us? How do I trust God? You may be like the people in Numbers 13 and 14. Do you really believe that God wants to lead you into a good future? Do you really believe that God has goodness in store for you? Do you really believe that deep down in your core? You may sort of say, yeah, I kind of believe it. But deep down in your gut, in your heart, in your soul, do you believe that God is leading you into a better future, into a good future? And sometimes we get this idea of a good future mixed up. We think it's about, you know, material blessings. You know, God's just going to give us all the money we want. I don't think that's how God defines a good future. I think how God defines a good future is healthy relationships with people we love and our friends and family. God defines a good future as trauma that has weighed us down for so long in our lives, finding healing through that and freedom through that in Jesus Christ. Good future means that no matter what circumstances surround us, no matter who is president, no matter what virus is shaking our nation, we have this unspeakable joy, this unshakable joy in Jesus Christ that cannot be shaken by any circumstance in our lives. That this good future is God leading you into the calling that he has for your life and you fulfilling the calling of your life and you being a missionary in the space that God has called you to be. That is the good future in Jesus Christ. It's about a life of fruit, a life of holiness, and a life of freedom, joy, and hope. And so do you really believe that God wants that future for you, or are you just kind of settling for mediocrity? Are you just kind of settling for a life of the wilderness? Or are you just wanting to go back to Egypt? That as we're at this threshold moment in our church, do we believe that we want to go forward into what God has for us, or do we want to go back to the way that things were?
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
And as I looked at this passage, there are two different types of people here in terms of hope, in terms of the hope that these people had. There were those who never had hope in the first place. These are the people that said, we should go back to Egypt. Why did God bring us out here to die? These are the people that never truly believed that God wanted to bring them into the promised land. These were the people that always kind of thought, you know, this experiment of God leading us out into slavery, it's not going to work. The people that always grumbled, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've never really had that hope of the gospel. Maybe you've never really felt that hope of a future that God wants for you. But then there's another type of people here too, and those are the ones who have lost their hope because of their circumstances. And those are reflective of the spies in the ending verses of chapter 13. Those are the ones that went into the land, They saw how big the giants were. They saw what they would have to face. And they saw that in comparison to them, we're nothing. And they lost their hope in the face of what was to come. Those are the people that said, these giant people will kill us if we go into this land. And so which one are you? Are you someone who's never really had that hope? Or are you someone who maybe in this wilderness season you felt like you've lost hope? Maybe not necessarily the coronavirus wilderness season. Maybe you've been in your own personal wilderness for months, years, maybe even decades. But do you really believe that in this time of wilderness that God doesn't want you to stay in the wilderness? That the wilderness is formational in your life, yes, but the wilderness is never the permanent state of the Christian life. The wilderness is always a transitional state into what God wants for us. So do you really believe that God is wanting to lead you into something good, that God wants to set you free from these sins, habits, addictions that you have been so ashamed of for so long, that he wants to lead you into this newness of life that he promised us through Jesus Christ, a life full of freedom, hope, and joy? And so comparing the Israelites in chapter 13, I'm going to go back to the people in Joshua, looking specifically at verse 4. The Lord says to his people, "Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before." That God wants to lead us into a way that we've never been before, and that the way that we've never been before is into the promised land. That the way that we've been before into is good. That God isn't leading us into a trap. God isn't trying to trick us. That God wants goodness for us. I love what Jesus says when, I'm kind of paraphrasing Jesus, I hope you'll forgive me, where he says, you know, you parents, if your kid comes up to you and asks for a gift, do you give him a snake or do you give him a rock? No, you give him a good gift. So how much more does your Father in heaven, who is good, knows how to give you good gifts when you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children? Do you really believe that the character of God, the goodness of God, is pushing us, thrusting us, leading us into a good future? And that this gospel we believe in is about hope. As Paul says, the things that will remain is faith, hope, and love. Hope is a foundational cornerstone of the gospel. And that this hope is this new life that we can have in Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit. Hope is a core tenet of our gospel message. Has your hope been stolen this season? Do you think all I've known is wilderness? All I've known is wilderness, and I don't know if there's a way out. I've mentioned my anxiety before. I promise I won't talk about it each week. This is the third week in a row. I promise I have different illustrations. But I felt the Lord tell me to share this story. So as we transitioned from being 13 people, Numbers 13 people, to Joshua 3 people, for the most of my life with my anxiety, I would kind of define myself as a Numbers 13 person. I felt like my anxiety was something that would always be around me. I could never really shake it. It could be something that could be managed, but it would never be something that would really truly go away. And I just felt like it was sort of my burden to carry, that I had to just sort of carry all the trauma and the baggage that came along with it, because it kind of affected my relationship with the Lord. And I just kind of assumed, you know, this is just going to affect my relationship with God for the rest of my life until I die. And then he'll fix everything for me once I'm in heaven and everything's all good. And this past season, my last year at seminary, it was a really, my anxiety is kind of seasonal, like it'll go up and downs at different times. And this past year, it was really intense about this time last year. And I was praying one time, I think it was either at church or my devotional time, and I felt the Lord say to me, do you really believe that I can heal you from this? And what God was challenging in my soul is, do I really believe that a God who heals lepers in Jesus Christ and heals the broken in Jesus Christ can heal the brokenness inside of me? That God wants not me to stay in this state of fear, but God wants true joy for my life. And so God has been leading me on this journey. I'm not there yet, but man, I'm better off than I was before. And that's only because of the goodness and the graciousness of God, and a God of hope, a God that says, my future for you is not darkness and despair, but it's hope, love, light. That this gospel that we believe in is not one where God says, you must have a mediocre life your whole time, and then you'll die and things will be good. It's that even in the midst of true heartache that surrounds us, even in the midst of everything going on in our lives, we have this unshakable hope, unshakable joy that will not be taken away from us. That our God is a God of hope, that the character of God is to give us hope. I want to look a bit at the end of Joshua 3. I think I have this up on, yeah, Joshua 3, if you want to put that next one up. The NIV does a bad translation for 3:5, so I like the NLT's translation more. Joshua said to the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. The NIV says amazing things. That's a bad translation. The word wonders is the same word that God tells Moses in Exodus, I will do signs and wonders in Egypt. That God doesn't just do amazing things, God does miraculous things, things that shake our very understanding of how God works, that our God moves in power and might and wonder, that as God leads us into this future, into a place we've never been before, as we follow after God, crossing over the Jordan, crossing over into the future he wants for us, so that space and time is filled with wonders, that's filled with healing of people, that's filled with that these traumas and chains that we've had for so long in our lives are broken, that we are set free, that we are healed, that our God is not someone who just kind of sits and watches us from afar, but meets us in our brokenness and meets us in our hurt and does wonders in our midst. Are we going to be a Numbers 14 people, or are we going to be a Joshua 3 people? Where we say God is leading us forward into a good future, that God is leading us into the promised land, and that God is going to act and move in mighty ways, ways that we have never seen before, ways that we have never seen before. Church, I believe that God wants to lead us into this new promised land. I don't know what that looks like exactly, but I know that God does. I know that it's good. I know that there's going to be wonders along the way. I know that we'll love the journey and that we'll love where we're going. For the longest time, I thought I was in that Numbers 13 season, where I thought, I don't want to go where God's leading me. I don't want to go into this new season. I didn't believe I could go into this new season. But as we see here in Joshua, God is always calling his people forward. God is always calling his people into a new season, into a new time in their lives, into newness. For behold, the old things have passed away. I am making all things new. I noticed this one, or I guess maybe I not notice. The Spirit pointed out to me, Joshua 3:2. If y'all want to pull that up on the screen, Joshua 3:2. It starts out with, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp. Church, we are a people who are familiar with the word after 3 days. The Holy Spirit is very smart when the scriptures were written, that the after 3 days was written here in Joshua. I think it's a foretelling of us. We're a people of after 3 days. We're a people of after 3 days, God then leads us into the promised land. After 3 days here in Joshua, they say, go and get ready. God is about to do something new. And then after 3 days, we see Jesus go from death to life, that this life that we're living in is just because of Jesus Christ and his resurrected life. That the reality is we are not Good Friday people, we are Easter people. We are a people of after 3 days. We are a people who says, we do not worship a dead Jesus, we worship an alive Jesus. A Jesus who came back from the dead to give us his life, to give us this freedom, to give us this newness of life, that we do not have to settle for a life that Jesus did not want for us. Jesus doesn't stay dead, but he comes back to give us this fullness of life. And so, church, I would challenge you to trust this fullness of life that God wants for us, because we're a people of after 3 days. We're a people who says, you know, God wants to lead us into what's new.